Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. Greg, are you all ready to talk Penn State football after the big Penn State spring scrimmage game, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, they called it a practice, Jim. It's good to be back with you as always. And yes, I'm looking forward to chatting about actually seeing the Penn State football team in person, sharing some observations from that practice last week at Beaver Stadium and diving into some of the key questions I know the fans have about what we saw and what it means moving forward. And I know we have a lot to get to.
Yeah, we do. Let's start with this, Greg. First of all, you were there, okay? There was no television, which, by the way, earlier this week on the show with Dustin, I went on about a half a segment rant about that. So we don't need to go into that. But you were there. What was the atmosphere like? What was the feel of it? Go ahead. Tell us what it was like.
Yeah, it was really interesting, Jim, because for the first time in over a year, I mean, we were at Beaver Stadium for games last year, but it was mostly just, a small group of people for the one game. There was nobody. It was just cardboard cutout. So, you know, one thing that didn't change during those games and this practice is there's still a lot of pumped in noise, be it from the crowd. And, you know, the band wasn't at any games last year, so they were there this time. So that was nice. But the music's always going. It's a never-ending sound parade of music and things and sound effects, so that hasn't changed. But it was nice to hear cheering, and it was nice to hear the band in action and just see people back together again at Beaver Stadium enjoying the scenes of practice. And look, I mean, the way James Franklin described it beforehand was more or less, made it sound like it was going to be a standard practice and maybe there'd be a scrimmage period or two, but that was it. And what we actually saw was much more of a straight-on scrimmage, not quite as, with the blue-white game, typically they would split the teams up and that would be that, but this was a little bit more, you have ones against ones, you'd have twos against twos, you'd have twos against ones, and so on and so forth. So it was a really good chance to see everyone in action, get a feel for how guys are looking, get a feel for Mike Yurcich's offense. Yes, they did go under center. No, they did not do anything with a fullback. But, yeah, it was certainly, I think, 7,512 people or 21 people were there, something in that ballpark. And, again, you can just tell the difference that some crowd noise makes at that venue.
Must have been a fun experience for those few people, who got to see the game. Start with this, Greg, as far as on-the-field action, especially after last season, so much is going to revolve around the play of the quarterback. We had to judge by some of the post-game quotes. I will call the support of Sean Clifford lukewarm from the coaches. You were actually there. What did you see from Clifford?
Yeah, it was a lot of, it was a lot of the same that we saw before. There were times when he looked, like his arm was strong and things like that. And then there was times when he made the same mistakes that he made a year ago, whether that was not throwing the ball away soon enough, whether that was throwing the ball away into a dangerous place, whether that was being inaccurate when guys were open. Obviously, he threw an interception. It was a jump throw. I still don't really know what the idea was. It was kind of a jump throw. And he threw it to Kalen King. It was a duck. It had no chance of ever getting to his intended receiver. And I just was very, very. I don't want to say disappointed because again, I think the important thing to remember here is that we saw 90 minutes, 95 minutes, something like that, of one practice. There were 11 that came before that. There were three that were going to come after that. And, the quote certainly did make it sound like, Jim, that maybe what we saw, kind of a lukewarm, hot, cold, some good, some bad performance, is what has been going on all spring with Sean Clifford. But at the same time, I don't want to go too far because, again, it's one practice out of 11. So You know, we'll see what is said and what is seen. There's a Friday night practice. The senior class will be there. I think the media will be there. So, you know, we'll get hopefully a chance to see a little bit more of what's going on. But, yeah, I was hoping to see – I knew that Mike Yurcich, Jim, was not going to fix Sean Clifford in the course of 11 practices. I mean, that's not realistic. But there were some things that popped up that – were issues last year that you would hope you'd see less of at this point, and that just wasn't the case. So we'll see. There's obviously a long way to go between now and September, but I certainly don't think, Jim, that it will quiet those hoping Penn State looks into a transfer portal option.
And we're going to get more in depth with Sean Clifford and the quarterback situation later in the show. But again, as a guy who was there at this scrimmage or practice, the way you describe it, Greg, is he makes mistakes. There's an inconsistency to him. Wasn't that exactly the issue last year? I think the physical skills are there to be a competent or even above average quarterback in the college game. But then there's those plays that leave you shaking your head and wondering, where did that come from?
Correct. I mean, and that's what I think that's what makes it tough, Jim, is that there's moments where you watch him throw. You know, he had a nice pass down the sideline to Cam Sullivan Brown, who made a really nice play on a pass down the sideline. And there were some moments where it was like, you know what? You know, maybe he can get this thing turned around. He didn't take off and run as much as we saw last year. Now, granted, that's easier to not do when you know you're not going to get hit, if you know what I'm saying. So, obviously, they're not hitting the quarterback in spring practice. So, you know, it's probably easier to stay back there a little bit longer knowing that some guy's just going to fly by and tag you as opposed to, you know, put his helmet into your chest and drive you to the ground. So, you know, that was one thing that did stand out. But, yeah, I was just, again, I don't want to go too far with it because I can't stress it, but it was just one practice. But, you know, there's just, again, I was hoping to see a little bit more from him in terms of getting rid of some of the problems that we saw plague his game a year ago, like the inaccuracies and like the inconsistencies. So, you know, Jim, that's kind of the thing that probably stands out to me the most is just, I know everyone wants this to be something that can be fixed easily, and I know it's going to take a lot of hard work. I know a lot of people were just, I think, kind of hoping that the switch would just turn on and it would be like a light switch and everything would be kind of normal the first time we saw Sean Clifford, and that wasn't really fair. I mean, it's going to take time to fix some of these things. Mike Yurcich talked about that, but I will say this, Jim, and I don't know what thought you had listening to everything that was said, but to me, Mike Yurcich is the right guy to get Sean Clifford to a better point. I think that if he can't do it, I'm not sure who can. He seems to have a really good plan. He seems to be very direct. He's obviously very confident in what he teaches and what he preaches and all that. So, you know, if Sean Clifford really takes all that to heart and really, you know, takes advantage of this opportunity to work with Mike Yurcich in person, not like with Kirk Soraka last year, everything was virtual, in person, you know, then I'm not giving up hope at this point on Sean Clifford. I think that's a little premature. I think that's unfair. And ultimately, even in whichever way you feel about it, it's not like Penn State has any kind of a certainty behind him. You know, James Franklin said Taquan Roberson made a lot of wow throws, is the word that he used during the spring, maybe as much as anybody else, he said. Christian, and it's Veor, Jim. Christian Veor. We heard him say that on, yes, there was a video I came across this morning of him saying his name, and it's Veor. So we'll see if we can keep screwing that up. Probably. I will anyway. You'll probably get it right. But, yeah, I mean, they have two guys who are not battle-tested behind Sean Clifford. So if they don't go to the portal, what do you do at that point? You got to hope, I guess, one of those guys really makes a big jump during summer and wins the job. Or you're going to go with Sean Clifford and see how far he can take you.
I was always a big believer in Sean Clifford, and I'm just perplexed by the kind of mistakes he has made. I constantly use the term blunders for what he does, meaning there's no explanation for it. He's a more accurate passer than he was on several of those interceptions. They were just mistakes. I was ready to use the word fluky, but that connotates that it doesn't happen very often. But last year, it happened way too often. And I guess from my perspective, I'm just hoping that something clicks with him that are causing these blunders. Now, you mentioned a name, Cam Sullivan Brown, making a nice catch. And I've always kind of put him and Daniel George in the same bucket. These guys have been around for a couple years, and it felt like their time may have passed them by. But you don't believe that. You think that you're on the Cam Sullivan Brown hype train.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard his name come up a few times this spring, and it's not the first spring his name has come up, Jim. He's a guy who people thought would maybe break out last season when Penn State was seeking, if I can talk, receivers. And, you know, that really didn't end up being the case. He didn't really blow up like some thought he could. Parker Washington did. John Dotson obviously did. So he did look pretty good out there this year running some routes. Again, same thing with Sean Clifford. One practice out of 15. For all we know, the first 11, he could have dropped a bunch of passes. And then yesterday, at practice 12 the other day, he put all that behind him and put together a good effort. You know, it's hard to – again, I don't want to come off as – making it sound like this one practice we saw is the end-all, be-all in the complete picture, because it's not. But it's a piece of information and an important one for, you know, evaluation purposes, not just for the coaches, but for all of us who cover and follow this team. So, you know, I thought he did some pretty nice things while he was out there on the field, and it certainly helped that Penn State seemed to be resting and not really putting a lot of the veteran more productive players into work. So that was, you know, a chance for him to shine, and he did. So I will not dismiss out of hand the opportunity for him to maybe make a name for himself this fall.
While we're talking wide receivers, there was some news made along with practice 12. Marquise Wilson, until now a cornerback, is making the switch to wide receiver. We'll get into all of the whys in the cornerback room, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But let's talk about Marquise Wilson making the shift to wide receiver. Good decision for him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can see that he has a little bit of, you know, he definitely has speed. He has a little bit of shake at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he has a good ability to get off the line, or at least he did on Saturday. So, yeah, I think this makes sense. Obviously, the corner room is very good, and I'm sure in the second segment we're going to get into some of the defense stuff. But, you know, Kalen King, the freshman, has made a huge impact, obviously. Johnny Dixon, the South Carolina corner, comes in and shows some nice things. So, you know, for Marquise Wilson, you know, James Franklin kind of, I don't think he's stuck at receiver. I think he could play on either side, really. James Franklin said they want to see guys master one side before considering the other. And they feel like he's in a good place as a corner at this point of his development. And it makes sense to try him at receiver because, you know, obviously it doesn't hurt to have him practice over there. It maybe gives you something else to look at. And if not, you move him back to corner and let him compete for time there. So that secondary for Penn State looks to be very promising as expected, and that allowed Wilson to move over.
We will get into that cornerback room at the start of segment number two. That is it for our Practice 12 edition of our show. We're going to continue that conversation, so stick with us.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.